News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Joining me now for more on this is Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE. Are we being too optimistic, Colm? You're smiling at me, but is that a smile of pity or a smile of encouragement?
No, I think there's lots of ground for optimism. And you're right, it's playing through in people's psyche. You can see it in people's mood on the streets, the weather, the longer days. But it's not just the feeling of spring and summer. It's also the real figures that are now beginning to show a definitive trend, Ciara. And we are seeing that now through from falling 14-day incidence. I know these are mundane figures, but we've all learned to live.
We're all epidemiologists now, Colin.
Epidemiologists now. And we're seeing real falls. Just to give some perspective here, that 14-day incidence was almost 1,500 in the middle of January, and now it's 126. The average number of cases, that 5-day moving average in the middle of January, was 6,800. Now it's 388. It's still high, but it's a fraction of what it was in the middle of January. And the hospital admissions, of course, we see them fall now below 200. First time since December, and a number in ITU. We're still seeing people come in sick to hospital. We're still seeing numbers of new cases per day. But of course, the big thing is not just that yield, but the impact of the vaccine, because the choice we made, like other European countries, to roll this vaccine programme out among older, more vulnerable people, among healthcare workers in residential care settings, difficult as it was in the middle of a pandemic to get the vaccine out to 580 nursing homes and all those hospitals, where it's now paying dividends. We're seeing a collapse in outbreaks in nursing homes. No outbreak in a nursing home in the past week. We had 7 per day in January. Cases among acute healthcare workers in hospital collapsed from 1,000 per week in mid-January to now 11 in the past week. So lots of ground for optimism.
So huge amounts of the metrics and the parameters moving in the right direction. And I am with you in terms of I believe that the vaccine is what is impacting us. I'm not saying that it isn't us all adhering to restrictions. Obviously, we have to do that as well. But I do think that it's the vaccine that's turning the ship. Talk to us about the vaccine rollout, because it's been a bit of a roller coaster this week. Obviously, we came out on Monday and we were saying things were looking good. And then we had the AstraZeneca issue with the clots and we were putting restrictions on it. So it was now the over 60s using AstraZeneca. Then the next day we had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine paused in terms of its rollout in Europe. And then we heard some good news around increased numbers of Pfizer vaccines available to us. Where are we at? That figure of 80% in June is what an awful lot of people are fixated on in terms of the vaccine rollout. How close are we to saying, yes, that's definitely going to happen?
I think we're on track. I think we're seeing what we're seeing now is we've had over the past 72 hours, we had to go into our bunkers in HSE and shuffle the deck and throw everything up in the air and then see how we could reach the same targets, get to the same people using alternative vaccines for some groups. And we've got a plan now and we feel that, dependent again on deliveries, which seem for Pfizer and Moderna seem more reliable. Certainly we feel we're on track with that. But I would say that to people, just don't focus on the numbers. Look at the impact of the vaccine programme. It's not just about numbers, because the people we got to in January and February are those people who had most to fear from the virus. And there were people in residential care settings, in nursing homes. There were older people. And now, for example, if I could just give you one figure, deaths in week two among people over 65 in week two, that's back in January, 592 in 1 week. It was 3 in the past week. So we're seeing a big, big drop in the most serious impacts, or most serious effects of this virus. So let's not just count it in terms of numbers covered by population, because of course people who are younger have less to fear from the virus. But to those high impact groups, it's really beginning to work its way through those groups now and see benefits.
And you're talking about the impact. Of course, the vast number of people who've been vaccinated have only had one dose. I know there are some who've had both, but they're the vast number, and yet the cases are collapsing. Is that an argument in favour of doing things like spacing out the doses of, say, the Pfizer vaccine? We know you have relatively high immunity after one dose. Is it better that we follow the UK model now and that we spread out one dose to more people rather than two doses to fewer people?
Well, two things. First, the AstraZeneca vaccine, as people, anyone who's had it will know, that the dose is spread out, and that's going with the science, because we know in a bizarre way that the longer the gap, the
12 weeks, now for some people that will be
16 weeks. For the Pfizer vaccine, if you look at the strict licensing of the drug, you're allowed to give the second dose up to 42 days, but the current advice we have is up to 28 days. is. And of course, this is one of the considerations that's happening at the moment. I know Ronan Glynn and others are looking at this, seeing how far we could protract out that second dose. And you're absolutely right, Ciara. The real world evidence, for people who are used to hearing all these figures, the initial evidence of a vaccine was based on trials of tens of thousands of people. What we call the real world evidence is exactly what it says in the box.
It's the millions of people who've actually had the doses around the world.
And the real world experiences substantial protection after the first dose. But that isn't an excuse not to give the second dose, but it may well give some leeway.
Okay. And I suppose lastly, we spoke to Dr. Ilona Duffy, GP in Monaghan, earlier on in the programme, and she was talking about some evidence of vaccine hesitancy that in her surgery, when they're ringing people, older people, to come in for the vaccine, in that case, it is the AstraZeneca vaccine they're being offered, people are reluctant. People are saying, no, I'm going to wait and I'm concerned. In terms of vaccine hesitancy, Tánaiste Dlí of Radcar has come out and said that those who refuse the AstraZeneca vaccine will be going to the back of the queue in terms of vaccines. What's the HSE's position on all of this?
Well, I will always start beginning and say this vaccine is a really good vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine. I know there was bad publicity and there's been talk and concern over what have been a very small number of cases. And let's get this perspective over this. Over 20, 25 million doses given in the UK, another, I think, 10 million doses given in the EU. And an in-depth analysis of about 88 showed this extraordinarily rare, but nevertheless significant
side effect. It's affecting 1 to 4 people in a million.
Correct. And this preponderance, according to the data so far, among younger people. So most great majority cases less than 60. So I'd say to anybody who's between 60 and 69 who's been offered the AZ vaccine, take it and register it. You've much more to fear from the virus than you have
because
from the vaccine.
Which the is virus affects that age group with quite a significant degree of seriousness.
Multifold in terms of mortality, in terms of serious illness, in terms of the chances of you being hospitalised going to ITU, it's substantially greater than somebody in their 20s and substantially greater than a very rare side effect, which has hardly ever been reported in older people.
Yeah, my feeling is that what we'll see is as people's friends get vaccinated, the ones that are vaccine hesitant will realise that it's all going to be okay. But look, thank you very much for coming in and giving us that update on where we stand. There is cause for optimism. That's according to Shane Coleman, myself, and indeed Dr. Colm Henry.